This week's Star Trek Discovery Recap is sponsored by TrueCar. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why TrueCar has introduced TruePrice. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And TrueCar dealers will show you what the true price is on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, TrueCar is going to show you what other people paid for the car that you want, and your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states or the Mirror Universe. The Star Trek Discovery mid-season premiere is over, but we're just getting started here on the Star Trek Discovery post-show recap. And now, here are the two people that are 60% terrified, 40% excited. Wait, switch it around. I'm Rob Cisterno here with Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. I'm kind of flabbergasted. What an episode. What a way to dive back into this.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited to have you on board. Well, Josh Wigler was going to come and be the co-host for Star Trek Discovery, but then Jessica Leese stabbed him, and now he's dead. And now we have a brand new co-host here on the ISS post-show recaps.
Long live the co-host.
Yes. Yes. Jessica, very excited to have you on board here for the back half of the Star Trek Discovery season. This is like a little bit of a, until we get back to The Walking Dead, I'm glad we have a weekly show to recap.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one as well. It's gotten very good in a very big hurry.
Yeah, so very excited to talk about the Mirror Universe here on Star Trek Discovery. Did you know a Mirror Universe storyline was coming up here?
I suspected it just based on the nature of the Spore Drive. It seemed like that was the sort of thing it was going to go to at some point. But what I was not expecting was a Mirror Universe arc. Usually when Star Trek goes to the Mirror Universe, they go there for one episode. By the end of the episode, they've figured out how to get back. In a lot of the Star Trek series, especially the ones that take place further off in the future, they really don't even spend a whole lot of time on how they got there or how they're getting back. They're just like, oh, go to the Mirror Universe, BRB, and mm-hmm. then they come back.
And they come right back. Yeah.
So this time they're going to spend the whole season here, it feels like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. And I'm here for it, Jess, because I like this more than the Klingon War that makes no sense to me in terms of the canon of Star Trek. So at least in the Mirror Universe, they can't screw up the canon too much.
Yeah, and they're not going to spend tortured hours talking about, like, why did the Klingons not look like they did in the show that we made in the 60s?
And RIP Dr. Culber, or has he gotten under one of the dumpsters in sickbay, Jess?
That snap was pretty clear. Mm-hmm. That was the snap heard around the world. And I think I have not audibly gasped while watching a television
program in a very long time.
It was a very big surprise. My husband came running out in the living room. He's like, what is wrong with you? And I said, major character death, go away.
Yeah, but do you feel like, is that a 100% confirmed death? Because as my wife told me, we recently came out of a blockbuster film. I said, oh, is that character dead? She said, well, they didn't put a sheet over them. So she felt like that's the rule. We didn't see the body. And to me, in the peak TV era, Jess, that if we don't get a shot of the body, that these shows have done a lot of kooky things and resurrections, we're in a mirror universe, Jess. Are you buying that Culber is gone for good?
Well, it could go either way.
I feel like there's a lot of outs here for Culber.
It is true that you do kind of need some habeas corpus if you're going to say that a character is dead. But on the other hand, who is around to put a sheet on the guy? Like Stamets? What's Stamets going to do? He's like lying there with white eyes yelling about palaces.
Yeah.
He's not even noticing yet.
Don't get what the palace is.
I don't really either, but I'm sure we're going to find out. I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
Maybe that's where the emperor lives.
Could be.
Could be. Yeah.
Now, Rob, did you catch that several episodes ago, Stamets, after coming out of a jump, looked at Tilly and said, "Captain, what are you doing here?"
No, that I did. Well, I thought that maybe he was like far into the future and could see her destiny of being a captain. So I did notice back when Stamets was looking in the mirror and then his reflection was acting differently than he was. That might have been a tip off to the mirror universe, but that's a good catch, Jess.
That was really crazy.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff to break down here in the mirror universe, plus a lot of things that we're learning about Ash Tyler, who ended up killing Dr. Culber, presumably. So we'll talk about all that. But Jess, before we dive into this specific episode, you and I haven't gotten a chance to talk about everything going on here in Star Trek Discovery. What were your thoughts on the first half season?
Well, I was a little skeptical at first, and I kind of put off watching it. I didn't really watch it as they dropped in real time. But then I dove in, and I really haven't taken to a show in the Star Trek universe in quite this way, really since Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
It feels gritty. It's darker than any Star Trek we've seen to date. I think it being on CBS All Access kind of enables it to go to some places that it wouldn't go to on a network. Mm-hmm. I think the performances are across the board spectacular. I think the concept makes sense. There are a lot of good hooks to hang episodes on. And while sometimes it does go to places that you're thinking, oh yeah, every season of Star Trek has done this in some way.
Not Next Generation.
Not Next Generation, but
although
every
I
other
did
series.
Read a Star Trek novel about the mirror universe of Next Generation, which was a very nerdy thing for me to be doing in high school.
Yeah, you're not the only person that spent your high school years reading Star Trek novels. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I liked it. I can't tell you anything that happened, but I read all about it. But that being said, Jess, okay, so here we are ready to go in the back half of season one of Discovery, and we are going out to the mirror universe. When we saw Discovery end up not knowing where they were, did you suspect mirror universe?
Well, for a second, I suspected we were going like hard right turn into Voyager territory.
Yeah.
Because if the Spore Drive can go anywhere in the universe, not just anywhere in the galaxy, you could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. You screw that thing up, you get the coordinates just a little bit wrong, you're going to be far further out than Voyager ever was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I thought we need to get Stamets back up on his feet so that we can ultimately get the Spore Drive up and running again. Do you think that the solution to this problem will be that we need to find Mirror Universe Stamets?
That could be it. But where is he going to get tardigrade DNA? Like, who knows if he's got that when he is in the Mirror Universe?
Yeah. Could we take the Stamets DNA and then ultimately do some sort of a transplant into Mirror Universe Stamets? Would that work for the Spore Drive?
You're talking about a Stamets to Stamets transfusion.
Yeah. But Jess, let me just talk big picture about the Mirror Universe, because this is the thing that always gets me on the Mirror Universe. The Mirror Universe is, you know, one assassination after the next. Like, there's people that get murdered in cold blood left and right, yet that no matter what era we go to the Mirror Universe, there's always, you know, all these doppelgangers of there really is no butterfly effect in the Mirror Universe. That it is really that. I mean, I think they tried to explain this with Lorca when he said, "This is the best example that I've ever seen of destiny," because these people, no matter you like all these other films and movies, you change one thing, you change everything. The Mirror Universe, change everything, everything's still the same.
It is an interesting argument in favor of predestination. Mm-hmm. Although I think Deep Space Nine, for instance, went to the Mirror Universe about once per season.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they went, some new person would get killed in the Mirror Universe, and so they wouldn't have a Mirror Universe counterpart. And then at a certain point, a character that was only a hologram in the main universe turns out to be an actual guy in the mirror universe, which I always thought was hilarious.
So they change a lot of stuff between the universes, but it keeps ending up being the same. People keep procreating with the same people at the same time to make all of these doppelgangers in the mirror universe. But we're not going to get caught up in that. We love the mirror universe.
I think the mirror universe is a lot of fun, probably because I don't have to live there.
Yeah. Do you think that the mirror universe podcast of us talking about Star Trek Discovery is better or worse than what we're doing right now?
I think it's much more pessimistic. I think they hate the show. I think they just complain about it all the time.
The mirror universe us. Well, what is Star Trek Discovery like in the mirror universe? Do they go to the mirror universe and then it's like everybody is very friendly?
I think so. I think mirror universe Star Trek Discovery is like hopeful and sunny and happy when they go to the mirror universe. And I think mirror universe Rob and Jess just hate it and like crap all over it all the time.
Let's just keep talking the big picture about this episode. Directed by Jonathan Frakes. I was very excited.
Good old two takes Frakes. That's what they call him.
Is that what they call?
They call him.
I did say though, he was making me a little dizzy with the fancy like rotating camera shots of that when we were looking at the map of the mirror universe, like we kept like doing like a 360 around Lorca and Michael Burnham and Saru. And it was like, all right, Riker, slow down.
Yeah. And it wasn't even a full 360. Like he would go a little part of the way and then he'd switch to another angle and go a little bit more. And that I found really disorienting. It's like either stay in one place and cut to different angles or just go all the way around in the 360 and smartly position your actors so that you can do that.
Yeah. Moving the camera all around, Riker maneuver style. So let's talk about what is going on with Ash Tyler. And there had been a lot of theories about, is Ash Tyler really a Klingon? And are we going to get a reveal on what's going on with Ash Tyler? And I think we kind of, we basically 100% got that confirmed in this episode.
Yeah, it would appear that the fan theory that he is Volk the Klingon has been pretty much confirmed.
And so here's what I am still unsure about, and I'm sure Ash Tyler is really unsure about, that was Ash Tyler a real person, and did they take his personality, like his brain, and did they lay that on top of an embedded Klingon?
It had to have been a real person because he had a Starfleet personnel record, unless they've got a really good Klingon hacker that just created a personnel file out of nothing.
Yeah.
I think they must have had a real Ash Tyler that they modeled this fake Ash Tyler on top of. And I do think they kind of talked about personalities and like they kind of tried to techno babble away. Like why he didn't fail any of their sleeper agent tests that they run. And I thought that was really talky and it didn't really explain anything. They're just like, yeah, we have reasons. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is crazy. I mean, are we going to have like some sort of like Vok exorcism to get him out of Ash Tyler and keep Ash Tyler as a member of the crew? Is Ash Tyler going to go full Vok at some point?
Is he like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Vok?
I don't know. I mean, like, will he rejoin Laurel?
It's a good question. And I think we're going to spend a lot of time this season exploring like what it means to have this beast lurking inside of him. And he's going to try to explore his identity and he's going to have complicated feelings toward Laurel. And there's kind of a weird twisted triangle between Burnham and Laurel and Ash. And I think this is going to be a very interesting psychological profile of someone who thinks he's one person, finds out he's another person. And I think we're going to have points where he's going to feel like he needs to honor his inner Klingon and points where he hates himself because of who he is.
Yeah. Jess, how great was Captain Tilly?
Captain Tilly was amazing. She's my new role model.
Yeah. No, that was really great. Now, I've said it before. I don't understand what rank Cadet Tilly is. As far as I knew, when you're a cadet, you're at Starfleet Academy. Yet Mirror Universe Tilly is a captain. I don't know necessarily how you reconcile those two things, but we'll just go with it. She's like the James T. Kirk of the Mirror Universe, where she's just like ascended for, and like from the movie version, where she's just like ascended like through the ranks. All of a sudden, she's a captain, yet she's a cadet in the main universe.
Well, I think she was a cadet in the Mirror Universe too, and I think she saw her chance and took her power.
You could do that. You could move up from, you could just be a cadet and then kill the right person, and then you're the captain.
I think that works for pirates.
Captain Killy? Yeah.
Captain Killy.
Right. I think if I was, you know, a person that was in Starfleet Command or the ISS Command in the Mirror Universe, I think I'd get rid of the daggers.
Yeah. Yeah. I might lock those up, like put them in a gun safe or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's just like, there's too many people being assassinated on these missions that are like, you know, you can't go a day in the Mirror Universe without somebody. There's like too much blood sport going on.
There's a lot of stabbing in the Mirror Universe.
There really is a ton of stabbing that's happening. And so I don't know how they get anything done. We had the introduction of a Mirror Universe Emperor, right? As far as you know, there is no canon of an Emperor of the Mirror Universe, right?
Well, I think there was something in the Enterprise world, but admittedly, Enterprise is not my strongest suit. Mm-hmm. But I think there is an Emperor during the Enterprise era.
Yeah. Do you think that we will see the Emperor of the Mirror Universe at some point in this season?
Do you think there is any chance the Emperor is not Giorgio?
Giorgio?
Yeah.
Who's Giorgio? Oh, Captain Giorgio? The captain of the Shenzhou. Boy, that'd be like sort of a weak reveal. Why, you'd be excited for her to be the Emperor?
I don't think I'd be excited. I just think that's where it's pointing to. It's got to be someone we know.
Could it be somebody from like Star Trek canon in terms of being the Emperor?
I guess so. We're nearly contemporary with the original series universe. It could be someone from original series. It could even, there's an outside chance it could be someone from Enterprise.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that would be exciting.
I guess it would be exciting. I don't know.
Not that exciting.
I think they're going to try to keep it pretty self-contained.
All right. Maybe we don't end up ever getting the Emperor of the Mirror Universe here because I don't know if there's going to be a satisfying reveal.
Could the Emperor end up being Palpatine?
Yeah, that would be a good crossover, ultimately, if we could get to that point where I do believe that we will, in our lifetimes, have a DC Marvel crossover that could we ultimately get the Star Trek Star Wars crossover?
It would make everybody angry, and it would be a lot of fun to watch people react to it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jess, how did you feel about the ability of Discovery to completely refit itself to make it the ISS Discovery in a matter of hours?
It looked a lot like the opening credits to Red Dwarf.
I've never seen Red Dwarf.
Oh, my God, Rob. It's like an extra Star Trek series. You got to see Red Dwarf.
Yeah. What is it?
It's basically a British parody of Star Trek.
When they refit the Enterprise or when they refit Discovery? What it looked like?
The opening credits show a worker on scaffolding outside of a giant spaceship painting the name of the ship onto the side of the ship.
Well, this was like they had like drones that went out there and were like painting, like cleaning up the decals off the ship.
Yeah, they've got their own little auto detailing unit.
Yeah. And then they're able to just like print up decals and everything for the floor. I mean, it's a good thing that all the changes to the Mirror Universe are all cosmetic ones.
Yeah. Well, they got some high powered replicators that can just like whip out a bunch of uniforms, too.
Yeah. And then they were also able to get the Mirror Universe comm badges all going really quick, too.
Like I said, replicators, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Jess, I noticed that this is not from the Mirror Universe. Did you happen to catch a look at the footwear that they wear on the Discovery?
It looks fairly practical.
Yeah. It looks fairly practical, except for the like gold foil piping on the sneakers that people wear on Discovery.
Oh, I thought that was jazzy.
Well, it is pretty jazzy. Nobody's saying it's not jazzy.
I wonder, like, since Burnham has silver on her uniform, I wonder if hers is silver.
Hmm. Yeah. Just that in the mirror universe, are you buying that the Terran Empire is able to basically be battling all of these other races all at once? Like, we can, like, we're losing a war to just the Klingons right now. We're the Terran Empire, they're winning against like the Vulcans, the Andorians, the Klingons, everybody else that would have been in the Federation.
Well, I already thought it was weird in the Prime universe that the Terrans are so prominent in Starfleet and in the Federation. That seems weird to me because they're relative newcomers to the Federation.
Right, but they took over.
They make first contact, and then 200 years later, they're running everything.
Right.
I thought that was weird enough. The mm-hmm. fact that they, in the mirror universe, they are running everything and everybody else hates them. That's even weirder.
Mm-hmm. Right. You would think that some other alien race would be more advanced. And then if we were that much of a pain in the ass, they would just come in and just independence day us.
I really feel like the Vulcans would have taken care of that.
Yeah, well, in the clip from Enterprise, and I watched it on YouTube, I think I must have watched it when it was originally on, but that you see where Zefram Cochran ends up shooting the first Vulcans that land on Earth, and then, like, I think it's Randy Quaid is like, hey, let's take their ship, and they get in there, and speaking of Independence Day, and that they get in there, and I guess they have, like, now some sort of, like, hijacked Vulcan ship, and I don't know if that sort of, like, leads the way for the entire Terran Empire to get off the ground.
So is it sort of like how they retconned everything in Independence Day, where they said that we could hack the alien spaceship with a Mac because Macs are built on alien technology from Area 51?
Yeah, I think it's just like that.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense, but it's still like, why do we care about going to space if we're a bunch of racist xenophobes?
Well, you gotta take over. I gotta keep conquering.
I guess, but if you conquer, you just got a bunch of, like, crappy alien stuff if you hate aliens.
Yeah. Well, I will say this about the Mirror Universe Terran Empire, that they seem to not discriminate against any human. That it seems like that I think it's admirable that they're able to. It seems like all of Earth is united. Seems like that there's peace on Earth, Jess.
Yeah, they're post-racial. They're just not post-species.
Yeah. And look, I think that this could be what really unites us together as a planet, where all people, men and women, all races, we come together and say, we are against the aliens. And if we could just all get on that same page, we could be so strong as a united planet.
Thank you, Bill Pullman.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. They thought that was great in Independence Day, when he's like, hey, come on. We're not going to go quietly into the night here, everybody. Let's take on the aliens. It's us against the universe, against the galaxy.
Today is the day we celebrate.
Yeah, there's no division among anybody in the Terran Empire.
I guess that is admirable. I mean, maybe we're destined to go that way no matter what happens.
Yeah. See, I like to try to look at things from the positive side, Jess.
Well, like I said, the Mirror Universe versions of us podcasting about Star Trek Discovery are just complaining about it.
Yeah. So, Jess, I want to talk about Captain Lorca, that he clung to protocol here a couple of times in this episode. And I thought that it was a little bit of an unusual stance for him. Early in the episode, he goes to sickbay and he wants to pull Dr. Culber off of the Stamets case. Now, he did not say who he wanted to replace Culber with, and as far as I can see, it looks like that there is no other medical professional on the Discovery. It seems like that they either end up deferring to, like, Michael Burnham or Tilly in lieu of any other medical person on Discovery, so maybe you have some insight into that. But why did Lorca want to pull Culber off the case?
Well, it's a big conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's treating his partner.
Yeah.
He's emotionally involved, and I think Lorca feels like his end goal is to get Stamets back into the spore drive, especially now that they're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Culber is going to think, I want to save Stamets's life, and I don't want him to do a thing that's going to endanger him.
Right.
So he's going to not necessarily act in Lorca's best interests.
Right. But ultimately, isn't the entire ship stuck in the mirror universe? I mean, I feel like that Culber has some skin in the game also in terms of being invested in wanting to get back to the Universe Prime.
Well, he's weighing getting back to the Universe Prime versus potentially losing the love of his life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point, but it didn't seem like that there was somebody who was ready to step up into that role to begin treating Stamets either.
They must have some interns somewhere.
You would think so, but I don't. There was nobody.
Big ship.
Yeah. You would think that it would be that case, but I did not see anybody else. We also then saw Lorca, you know, sniffing around Ash Tyler and basically wanting to know what's going on with him and Michael Burnham.
Yeah, well, you would think he would have bigger fish to fry right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like speculate on the love life of my crew versus get out of the mirror universe. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. What was his problem with Ash Tyler?
You know, I would say maybe he doesn't trust him, but I think he trusts Ash more than pretty much anybody except for Burnham.
We got a policy on my ship, Tyler. No funny business.
Maybe they didn't fill out the fraternization form yet.
Yeah. I'm so confused in terms of the Ash Tyler and Michael Burnham relationship because they hooked up in the temporal loop. And then did they hook up again when they were on the planet with Saru?
Yeah.
Like they had a real hookup then.
Yeah, they kissed.
Yeah. I was at a little mad at Michael Burnham in this episode, Jess, at the end, because poor Lorca is being tortured in the Agonizer. And I'm watching this. And I'm saying, like, hey, no time for love, Dr. Jones. What are you guys doing? You have time to do it in the mirror universe. Like, did we forget the whole point of this plan?
Well, I think she's just trying to stay in character.
Stay in character. I mean, she's in her quarters at that point. I think she could have been getting into the computer instead of her and Ash Tyler having some romance time.
I guess so. But they're really stressed out. Maybe they just need to clear their heads. And that's one way to do it.
I guess so. But you would think that Michael Burnham, who is not an impulsive person, that you would think that she would be a little bit more focused considering that Captain Lorca is in the Agonizer.
It's true. You would think that Michael Burnham being raised by Vulcans, maybe her 7 years were up. I don't know.
You think that she was going through some sort of Ponfar type experience?
Maybe she was.
Yeah, because as far as I understood, Jess, the whole point of the mission was that they were going to get her back on board the Shenzhou and that she was going to be able to access the computer files and then see what was going on. And then her and Lorca were going to beam back right away. And that's not what happened.
No, it seemed like, well, she kind of got caught up. She has to fulfill her captain duties for a while, I guess, now that she has become the captain of this ship.
Mm-hmm. And then Discovery was the ship that ended up warping out of there.
It looked like they both did. It looked like the Shenzhou took off, and I think Discovery was like right on its tail.
Yeah. Did I misunderstand what the plan was going to be then?
No, that sounds like the plan as far as I understood it.
Yeah. But it just seemed like that once she got on board the Shenzhou, it was like the plan was out the window.
Well, I think there's also maybe more information to be gleaned that you can't get off the computer.
Mm, yeah.
They need to know a little bit more about their universe and to do that, they need to assimilate. And there was a lot of talk about assimilation.
Right. But I don't think that you could keep your cover for that long in the mirror universe. I think that if she's on that ship for more than a day, I can't imagine that she is going to be able to keep this cover up.
She could. I think it's easier to do that if you haven't been on the ship in a while.
Yeah. So that they'll say like, oh, you seem different, Michael Burnham. Like, screw you. I'm exactly the same.
I've been through a lot. Get off my back.
Yeah, get off
my back.
That's
easy.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. Michael Burnham was lucky that she was so well trained in martial arts after Captain Connor tried to assassinate her.
It sure seems like he should have seen that coming, too.
Yeah, well, who knows what sort of training that the Captain Michael Burnham has had in real life, because that in, because I mean, just to go through Michael Burnham's background, you know, that sure, her parents were killed and then she was raised on Vulcan. So I don't understand what her background would have been in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah, who even knows? Like, maybe her parents are still alive.
Yeah, so that we don't have any sort of understanding of yet. Jess, as far as we understand as well, that the Mirror Universe Discovery is now causing a ruckus in our universe?
That's what it sounds like. And I hope we get one of these sliding doors kind of episodes where we see what they're doing.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
I can't wait to see the reaction on Captain Tilly's face when she finds out, what? I'm a lowly cadet? But I can't even talk?
I think she's just going to start murdering people.
Yes. Nobody wants to share a room with me because I snore? What? Long live the Empire.
Yeah, in the Mirror Universe, nobody wants to share a room with Tilly because she murders you.
Yes, yes. The snoring Tilly is like no big deal. That's great. I feel bad for Saru, that Saru has really been minimized here in the Mirror Universe. He's down to being just the transporter chief.
He has to kind of hide out because, you know, they don't hang out with his species in the Mirror Universe.
Right. And his threat ganglia are like permanently extended.
Yeah. Well, Mirror Universe Saru has thread ganglia in a goatee pattern.
Wow, that's one crazy goatee. Just, I think that my favorite thing that happened in the episode was when they ran into the Cooper, Jess, and then Captain Tilly had to answer audio only, and then Lorca had to pretend to be the chief engineer, and he ended up going with a perfect Montgomery Scott-like accent. I love that.
Yeah, that was delightful.
Yeah. I hope that Captain Lorca just has to go full Scotty here in the Mirror Universe.
That's always the hope. You should always go full Scotty if you have a choice.
If you have the choice. So, Jess, in terms of now this Ash Tyler and Vok and Laurel triangle that's going on, I mean, how does this play out? Because that Laurel is, you know, in the brig in the Mirror Universe, it feels like that I don't know what they do with her story while we're here in the Mirror Universe.
I think her story is probably going to stall out unless she sees a point at which she could escape.
Yeah.
Because what's she going to do in the Prime Universe? She might have a better offer on the table here in the Mirror Universe.
Oh, you think that she could defect to the Klingons here in the Mirror Universe?
Why not?
Yeah. That'd be great if they could go and, like, drop her off somewhere.
Yeah, the Klingons here don't know that she's a traitor.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, what are they going to do with her? Are they, like, going to bring her back to the, you know, Starfleet for, like, a prisoner?
I assumed that was what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And she kind of, I mean, she had the conversation where she was like, okay, say I want to do this, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, do the Klingons want her?
Not the ones in the Prime Universe, but Mirror Universe, they might be happy to have her.
Yeah. So there was that moment. I couldn't believe that Ash Tyler let her out of the brig when he went down there. And then she ended up bringing him back with the whom do we seek? Kalis.
Well,
Jordan Kalis
sort of did.
Yeah.
Every time they say that, I think, oh, is Jordan their deity?
Yeah. Is it Kalis or Kalis?
They say it's Kalish. Mm-hmm. There's a weird Klingon guttural in there that I can't quite duplicate.
Yeah. But it seemed like it didn't work. Whatever she wanted to have happen, it didn't ultimately stick like she wanted it to. Well, what's going on here, Jess?
It seems like there were two parts to this transformation. There was the surgical physical transformation, and then there was the overlaying of the personality, and she had this magic spell or these Manchurian candidate words that she thought was going to just bring Vok back. Mm-hmm. And when she did it, something about the Ash Tyler persona kind of squashed a lot of it down.
And then from there, ultimately, he ends up sort of like being triggered enough that he's able to just kill Culber when he starts asking him questions about it. But it doesn't seem like he remembers that he did that.
Yeah, he doesn't. It seems like there's kind of two beings inside of him, sort of like the Katra thing that happens with the Vulcans. He's got Valk inside of him, and Valk comes out to play sometimes, and Ash is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like Mr. Robot and Elliot Alderson.
Yeah, just that. Are Michael Burnham and Ash Tyler and Lorca going to be on board the Shenzhou for the rest of the season? Like, what's the over under on how many episodes they're going to be on the Mirror Universe Shenzhou?
I don't think it's going to be that many. I think it's a couple. I think they spend enough time there to kind of flesh out the universe a little bit more. And then I think they're reunited with the rest of their crew.
You think it's going to be one episode?
I think it's long enough. It's one or two, I think, long enough for this universe's Lorca to show up.
So you think that he could be like the Spock, who is the figure who is maybe sympathetic to the other universe?
I don't think if he wasn't on that ship, he didn't make the jump. So I think other Lorca is out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he wasn't on the Discovery.
Right.
So he's out there somewhere having killed Michael Burnham and being like out there leading rebellions. He's not on the Discovery. So I think he shows up and blows their cover. That's where I think it's leading.
OK, that'd be exciting. And we can maybe find out more about the Emperor from the Mirror Lorca.
I think 100% we meet the Emperor.
OK, Jess, what'd you think of the Agonizer boots?
I thought they were really cheesy, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, they were better than the ones from the 60s Star Trek.
I guess a little bit, not much.
Yeah. So what do you do in the Agonizer? Yeah, what do you do in the Agonizer? They just like electrocute you the whole day?
Yeah, it's some sort of pain. Like, I'm sure they tap into your pain receptors and make you hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Lorca going to crack? Is that a possibility?
I'm sure Lorca's been through worse.
Yeah. What do you think the people did that were being agonized? It seemed like there were other humans in there.
Well, they were probably trying to rebel.
Yeah. You never try to rebel.
Yeah, not unless you're sure you're going to succeed, I guess.
Yeah. Is the war against all the other planets in the universe, is it going well for the Mirror Universe ISS fleet? The Terran
Empire?
It's
always hard to tell, but it seems to me that things are usually coming up Terran.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem like they're all like pretty jazzed about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they always, every time you go to the Mirror Universe, it seems like evil's always winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Empire is long living, and they're just destroying all these other planets.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Just what do you think about the overall philosophy of the Mirror Universe, where that they project strength, but everybody in the Mirror Universe is very afraid. It's painted rust is the way that Michael Burnham describes it.
I thought that was very poetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would be very afraid in the Mirror Universe that I was going to get a shiv in the back at any point. So I think I would have to, you know, project some sort of a, you know, strength so that people wouldn't just come up and kill me.
Yeah, there's a lot of machismo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are always kind of fronting.
Yeah, so you got to. It's like prison.
Yeah, it's a lot like prison. It's like prison all the time.
Yeah. Now, we saw Captain Connor tell Michael Burnham about how the Emperor seemed to take a liking to him. Is there any clue that, I mean, I feel like if anything, that speaks more to your Captain Giorgio theory.
I think it does. I think at the very least that says the Emperor is someone we've already met.
Yeah. But would Emperor Giorgio like Connor more than Michael Burnham?
Maybe. I think we don't really know what Michael Burnham's like over here.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? What would the evil Michael Burnham be like?
Evil Michael Burnham probably saved 8,000 people's lives.
Yeah. Ironically, evil Michael Burnham would be applauded as a hero for a mutiny that got the captain killed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think maybe across universes, Michael Burnham can't catch a break.
Yeah. I did love the part where Michael Burnham gets into the turbolift battle with Connor, which I thought was very well done. And then the turbo lift door opens and then Connor just falls out dead. And then Michael Burnham just gets an ovation from everybody on the bridge.
She doesn't just get an ovation. She gets a slow clap.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
It was pretty great.
And then she said that the whole reason that she couldn't complete the mission of getting to her ready room was that there were too many butt kissers that were following her around the whole day.
I think that speaks to how life is in the Mirror Universe. You can kill someone to get on top, but then you have to deal with all the sycophants.
Yeah. There's a lot of kneecap sucking going on in the Mirror Universe.
It's really kind of amazing the Terrans get anything done.
And of the many great Tilly moments in this episode, I think when we saw her like really trying to project the Captain Tilly persona, when she says, hey, let's not keep these a-holes waiting. And Lorca's like, ah, all right, that was a little too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little much.
So this was, in my mind, was a very exciting start to the back half of Discovery, Jess.
I thought it was great. I can't wait. I'm so excited to have some more appointment television in this relatively dead era.
Yeah, so very exciting stuff. I also want to open this up to your questions. We didn't do this in the first half of the season, but we can do it now. We're going to record these on Monday so we can get any additional information that comes out and give you guys a chance to watch the episode and send us in your feedback questions for us. So you can email the show, StarTrek@postshowrecaps.com. We'll answer your questions about Discovery and everything going on the podcast if you have them. You can also tweet to Jess and myself. Jess is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cesternino. And very excited to be back in the Star Trek podcasting.
Yeah, this is super exciting. I'm so jazzed to be talking about this show with you and to have someone to bounce my theories off of. It's really incredible.
Okay, so let us know what you thought in the comments. Only people from our universe, no Mirror Universe comments in the comment section. We get enough of that, all right?
You just inspired a whole bunch of fake Twitter accounts.
Good. All right. Looking forward to getting into it next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.